share your knowledge on the subject or on the text, and for you to seek clarification by asking questions. We are asking, there are two areas we ask that in your private life you remember then. One is a friend of ours, Brother Bernie, really his daughter. Brother Bernie was once an elder, but he sought to move his membership to another congregation. What is encouraging is how, though not an elder at that congregation, the man continued to work for Jesus Christ, even more than the elders there. I mean, and that's the way it ought to be. I think, I don't know if it's in men's training class I shared with you, that he made it his responsibility on Sunday that any member that sit within a particular range that is absent on any given Lord's day, get their names and all the necessary information and pass it on either to the elders or the appropriate people in the church for them to check on those people. Nobody gave him that responsibility. Having been faithful to Jesus Christ all his life, once an elder, he does not see any other way but continuing that commitment to Jesus Christ. What has happened is that some years ago, within a short while after he lost his wife, if my memory serves me right, the only daughter, Tinu, of course, we turn to the sheet. And we are at verse 14 and 15. Could you just quickly, wait, for those who are joining the class for the first time, I know we have Brother and Sister Fisher, their children. For those who do not know, they are members of the church and have been for a long time. They live abroad, and each year as they come, they worship with us for the time that they are going to be here. When Brother and Sister Fisher step in just now, I was trying to remember, is it Fisher? Is it Myrie? Is it Webb? The point is, I know that they wear the name of one of our well-known brother here. So when I guess right. Okay, brother. We're glad to have you. In addition, of course, to Fisher, we have a friend of the family sitting with Sister Michelle there. In fact, she's traveling tonight back to the U.S. She's just stopped over Sata, a good friend of my son, Sata's second mother, to my son. Her sons and my son. Me no know Brother Mitchell have a son. Yeah. You know, she was just pointing out on our way down what she's going to do to try and get in here. As I said, she has four or five sons who are friends to my son. And she was pointing out why he doesn't come, and we saw it and know. We know that he doesn't like flying. And she was thinking of probably doing something to make him come. But anyway, he doesn't like flying. He was in fact, was a U.S. Marine and was in the U.S. Marine for many years, but he doesn't like flying. And it seems as if the older he gets, is the more he determined that he's not going to fly plane again, at least flying it, you know. So we are glad to have her in our Bible study. Again, we encourage your participation. We are looking on the subject of, could somebody remind me? Head covering, as it is discussed in the passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 or 3 through verse 16. I usually just cover the first 16 verse of the book of 1 Corinthians. Again, for those who are here for the first time, we have been on this subject for over 6 months. And we have actually made a thorough study of the subject. As thorough as you can get. One of the areas we look on is to permit history to speak. That from the first or second century, what various religious and Christian writers wrote about what the church down through the century believe and practice in respect to the subject. Let us hear that paragraph D, page 6.
Nature itself teach you. The apostle here is appealing to nature, or that which is natural, as additional to all the...
Wait. Nature is not the reason women are to be covered. Paul, the inspired apostle, is just bringing in some additional reason or support. As we have said and pointed out and in paragraph, well, read it, go on, brother.
Or that which is natural, as additional to all the divine reasons previously given. Nature does not mean custom. Nature refers to man's inner sense of what is proper, right, appropriate and fit, which all people have, or that which is common in all people.
Okay. What nature teach? He's not talking about custom that may vary from one country to the other. That's not what he's talking about. As we have looked on last week, what the word nature here means, And we looked last week that it refers to man's inner sense of what is right, what is appropriate, from what is wrong. The conscience as we have looked at last week, remember we go to Romans chapter 2. We're not going to go back, just reminding you, the conscience is a part of this nature. That which is inborn. Conscience, we looked at last week, is that safety valve that God placed in man. And people who have never read the Bible still have a conscience. Every man, every woman was created with a conscience. Okay? Read on.
Man's conscience, nature, is part of our inner sense of right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 2, 13 through 15.
That's right. We looked at that last week. Read on.
Ephesians 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
It is a universal fact in nations around the world that long hair is a beautiful mark of femininity on women, but usually makes the man look effeminate.
This is generally so. It doesn't mean there is not exception. It's generally so that most culture nation in the world that you find, long hair becomes part of a woman's beauty and emphasizes her femininity. While for man, long hair usually makes a man look effeminate. That is a fact. Brother Webb, go on.
It is also instructive that when in verse 15, Paul spoke about the woman's natural permanent covering, a different word is used for covering than the word used in verses 5, 6, 7, and 13.
This is interesting. Quite interesting. Yes.
I know you're segueing into verse 15. Does an observation with verse 14, the word even.
The word what?
Even. Does not even nature.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to does not nature itself teach you. I think the word even gives a particular type of emphasis.
It is.
That, which is consistent with what you would have had in your outline, where it ties it back to that the reason being given is not only nature.
That's right.
But all those additional reasons that were given before.
That's right.
But the word even, I believe, carries our mind to the fact that you have all of this.
Yes.
But
in addition to all of these
of what have been said.
Yes.
Even nature complements what we would have been seeing.
Same.
And I think it's significant
it does.
That this is used here when we're talking about nature, because you might have the exception,
yes,
as you alluded to earlier, where you might find yourself in a particular place,
yes,
where the man having a long hair is seen natural,
yes,
and a woman having,
yes,
a short hair is natural.
But those are the exceptions.
But that would be the exception. But
yes.
But it would not mean that in that environment the woman would not need to cover, and the man should cover.
That's
right. So,
still carries.
Yeah.
still carries.
And so the concept that of nature being one of the reasons why the woman should cover, right, and the man ought not to, in terms of the glory and so forth. It is almost as if this is not the strongest of if you were to list the arguments.
Yes.
It is this would not be the most solid
no
argument.
No.
Alright. But what I find interesting is that if we were to tabulate the arguments why the man ought not to cover and the woman should cover.
Uh-huh.
Alright, and if it is 5 or 6 or 10, then persons tend to zero in
mm-hmm.
on this one in terms of nature and what, you know, because they may observe or that it doesn't look any way now for a man to have long hair
and
so forth. To say that it is not important to have the woman covered and the man not covered.
And along that point, Brother Webb, and everyone, may I? One of the, should I call it one of the items that the inspired Paul appealed to try bring, he has already used God's stratification of authority in verse 3 to lay down the reason. The Apostle Paul had already gone to creation to show that what he's now teaching in the passage, that principle was laid down at creation. Now, he has an appealing. He appealed to our judgment. Huh? Judging what I say. Does it seem seemly, etc.? There again, we look at that. Paul wasn't saying he's leaving up the subject to human judgment. But here is it. If you and I were to be able to find some crack, some defect, some unexplained reason why this illustration Paul brought in has no relevance today. Here is another one that has no relevance today. You would still be bound by what the rest of the passage says on the subject. Until you or I are able to overthrow all the argument in the passage, we are under obligation to live by the passage. And this is it. That you or I may feel justified in arguing against one of the reasons that Paul brought up doesn't mean we escape the responsibility we have. You would have to take every argument he put forth. With God's truth. Until you or I are able to do that, we are bound by what the passage is. Yes. Okay.
2 points. Just to confirm the statements made and in that verse. Absalom, who is here?
Long.
Very long.
And Earl, as you would have remember, from what the Bible teaches in the Old Testament there, you can see that it was an exception.
It was an exception.
Go on.
Because he grew it for 1 year and then cut it.
That's right.
And it was that long hair that contributed to his death. His
everybody death. Got it? It was Absalom long hair that created problem for him.
Yes.
Huh? Everybody remember it except Earl? Nobody? I want to make, yes, that's your hand. I'm coming. Anybody? Who was Absalom? Anybody know?
Yes.
David's wayward son. He let ambition get to him. Can you imagine he wanted his father and take the throne. Huh? This is important. There are a lot of lessons. Absalom was handsome and you know what? Popular. And he permitted that popularity to intoxicate him. He felt that because the people love him, he could easily undermine his daddy. Huh? And tell me what to. His daddy had helped to spoil him. Huh? David loved him. That's right. And it was that long year that caught in the trees. I think the Almighty God had something to do with that. Truly. You talk about providence. Wait. Remember, we just started Providence Sunday gone. Huh? We have been on the subject for 3 weeks, but the previous 2 weeks were dealing with miracle. I'm coming early. I beg and encourage you, don't miss Sunday coming. In legal circle, I'm coming early, don't forget. In legal circle, we talk about the modus operandi, mode of operation. Huh? Well, we are going to further talk about God's modus operandi Sunday. And I didn't go that side yet. That is telling the present religious attitude in the world to how God operates today. I'm going to outline the 3 or 4 concepts and get some more into the providence of God. So I have no doubt that God was so much against Absalom want to overthrow his father in a violent way. God took him. David bawled for him for many days. I'm coming, Sister B. Was it Sister B? Hand was up. Yeah, I'm coming. Yes, Earl.
just one of what you were saying about, you know, even if someone wanted to be critical of 1450, I'm saying, Brother Mitchell, if in approaching this with proper guidance and the proper attitude. If the Bible speaks to rightly dividing.
Rightly dividing the word of truth.
Right.
Very important.
If we approach it in that aspect, we cannot come with two opposing truths.
That's very important. Everybody heard what Brother Sterling just said, and that is very important. Don't ever be satisfied when you project an argument or defend an argument that makes the Bible appear to be supporting two truths that oppose each other. Never. Make sure that what you are proposing, what you are saying the Bible teaches, that does not contradict any other plain truth in the Bible. Because God's Word, well, in fact, in no area of true knowledge do you have one branch of the knowledge contradicting the other branch. No area. Science doesn't do that. So that's a very important point, Brother Sterling.
You're just this last one, and I'll
give
and guide me if I am interpreting right. When the Bible speaks that, because these last few verses are given to interpretation.
Yes.
And a bit how you, but the principle, and tell me if I'm right, is that the Bible speaks that no prophecy of the Scripture
is of any private interpretation. That's right.
But men of God spoke
as they were guided by the Holy Spirit.
Now, in principle, I believe that the whole head covering is created in that. That it can't be you interpreting one thing,
yes.
I am interpreting one thing. But what
and we both are right. It can never be. It can never be. Everybody gets it? I think Sister B. Brother Bramley, it's good to have you, because I know normally you would be in my gully. But probably you feel we are on the last verse and you want to get in. Yes. Yes, because we know the gospel meeting is going on in my gully. It's going on or it ends now? Sunday. Okay. Oh, okay. Yes. But we're glad to see you again. Yes, Sister.
Yeah, I think most people, including members of the church, are missing the point. They're equating hair with head. The Bible never said that your hair must be covered. It said your head. And the hair is not the head. The head sits above the neck and includes hair, face, nose, mouth, everything. So it really is irrelevant whether the woman has hair, short hair, long hair, or no hair. It has to be covered. And the men, if they have long hair, short hair, no hair, they're not supposed to be covered in the brain. Mm-hmm. And that's why Paul could use nature, saying for women, long hair as a covering,
yes,
versus the spiritual aspect of whatever you used to cover your head.
Yes.
Right? Because it's the head that is the issue,
head,
not the hair.
Yes, it's the head that is being emphasized. I want to just throw something, but anyway, we might be on this discussion for another extra. Because what Sister B, the Bible is speaking about the head, And of course, it used head with the two concepts supporting each other. It talks about Christ is the head of. As against, if her head is not covered, or if the man's head is covered. Are we here? Huh?
Yes.
We have discussed already the concept of the word that is used for covering, and we are going to come upon it again in verse 15. Concept that it has the idea that it must be something done. Did we address that? Nobody remembers.
There were some fearful practices again,
which show this
has to show the world
in you,
and yet there is no concept of having done.
I'm going to run that.
We have one discussion. What happens in Ephesians 39,
verse 9 and verse 16? In the Greek Old Testament, it is the word katakamiso that is used there. In Numbers 22, verse 5, it is the same word, either kalupso or chapter kalupso, used there. In Isaiah 6:2, same word, and in all passages, it does not carry something hanging down. Name. In fact, could I listen to verse quickly for me, Brother Webb? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7. I read from verse 4 to verse 7.
Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prays or prophesies with her head.
That head is used here in one breath, and it has two meanings. Everybody sees it? One is his physical head, the other is Jesus Christ. You all see? Yes, please.
But every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. And if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man, that was 6.
7.
For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man.
Verse 13.
Judging yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered?
Okay. Five, 10 minutes to go. Some of the things I want Many want to get along what verse 15 and 16 of that asserting was just an error. He said, and verse 15 and 16 are not difficult verses. Are we all good? Read verse 15 and 16 from me.
But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if a man seem, but if any man seem to be contentious,
her hair is given her for a covering. Many want to avoid the teaching of this
Yes, Brother Mitchell. If it was the hair that Paul was speaking about, remember, as a covering, remember, we men also have hair on our head. So, that... Yes, sir. It is... Shave. Yes, sir.
Which is indicated.
Yes, sir.
That why she has her hair on her head.
That is correct.
There is another covering under consideration.
Yes, sir.
And if she doesn't have the fact of an artificial covering,
yes, sir.
Helping is obedient to its ultimate end.
Well said. Well said. And it's also a shame for a man to pray with his head covered. So if it was my hair on my head, I would already have my covering. It would be a shame for me to pray. Yes, sir.
Referring to the woman's fear.
translated covering and used in verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, and verse 13. Wait.
I have a question. The artificial, I want to ask a question. The artificial covering. The artificial covering, is it only to be considered a veil, or could it be a wig or a hairpiece?
nothing.
There is nothing in the original language, that is in the Greek, that would suggest to us that that word, peribulon, is used as a substitute. The covering there is used as a substitute for one's natural hair. So the question of wearing a wig or a similar thing really does not come into play. Because the Greek is very specific, as it is telling us, it is usually a thinly veiled material that is used to cover the natural hair. That is what the Greek says. And that is the only time that word is actually used in the entire chapter. Nowhere else in chapter 11 it is used. Same word. Look to.
Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. Read it for me aloud.
Ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth.
Does he mean an eye instead